The title is back in the Bay. We'll turn our attention to the NBA draft. What becomes of the Blazers? What are we going to see from the Pac-12? Our guest is the host of Charity Stripe podcast on the Believe Network. He has a photo of Larry David on his Twitter page, so you know we can do business. On Twitter, use @_CharityStripe_. Welcome in Alex Tassopoulos. Alex, appreciate the time. How's life in L.A. treating you?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a beautiful day here in sunny L.A., as I'm sure it's nice up where y'all are, and definitely not raining. What's the weather like there?
Actually, it seems like it just stopped raining for the first time since around November. So we're delighted. And sunny in L.A., no way. Anyway, yeah, let's start with the finals. I mean, we know Golden State won the final three, four titles the past 8 years. The core three, the emergence of guys like Wiggins and Jordan Poole, Looney, Payton, just regardless of who you root for. Alex, can we just doff the cap to a franchise who didn't go for a super team and, you know, actually developed players towards winning a title?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly impressive and indicative of, you know, that high percentage rating of them winning those finals, right? It, building that core, building a true franchise, and of course, Steph Curry at the helm. But what I loved seeing in the finals parades and you know, after the fact, after they had actually won game six and brought home the Larry O'Brien, is that he was talking about how he's looking forward to elevating guys like Poole, guys like Kuminga, Wiseman when he comes back from his injury, and continuing that Warriors dynasty when he, Draymond, and Klay Thompson aren't there anymore. So that's one thing that I love seeing, and I think, again, as I mentioned before, it is indicative as to why they have such a great winning culture.
You know, it wasn't a great season for Pac-12 hoops. They had two teams make the Sweet 16, and three names have been kicked around as possible first-rounders. Let's start with Ben Mathurin. Zona really took a quantum leap forward this sophomore year. I mean, he was an absolute wrecking crew in the game against Oregon. So is he a top 10 guy, neighborhood? What do you like about his game, which seems to be pretty diverse?
I really love Ben Mathurin. I think he's definitely a top 10 guy to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he got picked there at 5. I think, you know, from what I'm seeing in different boards and hearing around, you know, just the basketball zeitgeist and what's going on with this draft, you know, you've got Holmgren, you've got Banchero, you've got Jabari Smith and Ivy, who look to be the 1 through 4. But if Mathurin was taken at the 5 spot or even taken 2 spots back, if the Blazers ended up using their 7th pick, I wouldn't be surprised, and I think whoever drafts this guy is in for a delight because he can do it all. I mean, to me, he reminds me a little bit of an Anthony Edwards light. You know, that's high praise just because of what Anthony Edwards was able to do this past year, but the guy relishes the spotlight, and I think that can't go unnoticed, especially in playoff basketball where guys – you want guys on your team – at least, you know, drafting young guys who can develop into stars and potentially superstars who love the big moment, who don't shy away from the bright lights. And that's certainly something that Ben showed and displayed in the NCAA tournament. I think, you know, he's got a great stroke from deep. He can get to the basket. He's a premier athlete. The defense, he's got all the tools to be a great defensive player as well and to be a good two-way guard / forward in the NBA. I think he can guard 1 through 3. In case you can't tell, I'm kind of in love with Ben Mathurin as a talent.
Well, I don't think you're alone because I love that kid's game. We continue with Alex Tassopoulos of the Charity Stripe podcast, the other Wildcat, the big guy from Cameroon, who, you know, in the scheme of things, kind of new to basketball, and he's just gotten better right from freshman to sophomore to junior year. He's a rim protector, Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. What do you think about Christian Koloko and where he might land?
Well, I think it was pretty apparent through, you know, we mentioned the Warriors team at the top here, and they had Kevon Looney, right? He played instrumental minutes in this finals run that they had. Koloko is a rim runner. He's a classic rim runner and paint protector. I think he can be a defensive anchor 3 or 4 years into the league. So I really like him for any team. Every team needs a big, at least a guy that they can throw on the court for 25 minutes. So no one's missing if they go and draft this guy. I mean, I think this is a wing-heavy draft, and there's been a deficiency of solid wings that can shoot and play defense in the NBA over the last 5 years. So I think that's going to be the hot commodity positionally in this draft. So I wouldn't be surprised to be slipped into the 20s. But this is a guy who can rim run with the best of them. So any team should be thrilled to be drafting Christian.
So last year, Evan Mobley of USC went third to Cleveland, and he was dynamite. Now it's time for his brother, Isaiah, I guess, to continue the family business. You know, the Trojans were good. He played a lot of minutes. He fills the stat sheet. He's 6'10".
Sure.
I don't think he's as good as his brother, but what do you see happening with him Thursday?
I expect him to get taken early in the second round. I think he's one of those guys coming out of college. I mean, he's 22, so he's a little bit on the older side. And of course, for whatever reason, you know, GMs, whenever they see that age number going up, they get scared. But I think he's a guy who does everything pretty well. You mentioned he's 6'10", so he's got good size, he's got a good shooting stroke. He passes the ball, plays within a system really well. I'll agree with you. I don't think he's going to be as good as his brother, but his brother is one of the best young talents in the league. So that'd be hard for him to replicate. But he's a good guy to bolster your roster with. If you're looking for guys that could potentially get into, you know, the top seven rotation on a team, he might be one of those guys. I don't know, but he's got the family pedigree to back it up. And, you know, he's a guy that competes, and he played at a very prominent university. So I like him. I like Isaiah. I'm not in love with him like I am with Ben Mathurin or Coloco, but he's a good value add to any roster.
Well, Mark Few is from about 15 miles south of here, so we've got a pretty big Gonzaga fan base. It was a disappointing end to their season. I think Chet Holmgren is interesting. I mean, he's like 7'8", 54 pounds. He does a lot, and I'm hearing a lot of different things about him. What's your read on his game and where he might land?
I think the great thing about Chet Holmgren is that he's going to make an immediate impact on a team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I watched the Utah Jazz in the last three years, and of course, a lot of people were talking about Rudy Gobert and that you can play him off the court in a playoff series, throwing different looks at him, especially with big men that can shoot. But Chet's defensive versatility reminds me a lot of Rudy Gobert. And when he's out there, and if he puts on 20, you know, 20 is a lot, but let's say 10 to 15 pounds across the shoulders, and he gets a little broader, just having him in the middle of the paint and on the help side as a shot blocker completely changes the dynamic of a defense for any team in the NBA. And then everything you're getting from him on the offensive side is just added bonus. He shot the three ball well. He passes. He dribbles incredibly well for his size. But I think that all of that will come in, you know, year four to year six for him in the league. But until he gets to that point, I mean, he's going to be able to have a spot on a roster. If Chet Holmgren was on either of those finals teams, he's playing 20, 25 minutes per game, no doubt. I love the kid as a prospect. I think, to me, if I'm ranking the 1, 2, 3 that everyone's been putting out there, the highest ceiling of those three guys is Banchero, then Chet, then Jabari Smith, who seems to have the highest floor. But you can't be going wrong with Chet Holmgren. I mean, the guy is—he's a freak, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
That size, he's seven. He's not quite 7'8". He's not George Mershon over there, but he's just as close as you can get to him.
Few final thoughts for Alex Tassopoulos, Charity Stripe Podcast, Believe Podcast Network. Let's play everybody's favorite game, the mock. The ping pong balls fell for the Magic. Three times they've gone first. Shaq, Chris Webber, Dwight Howard, not bad. Paolo Banchero, you mentioned his name. You think that's the direction they're going, or maybe they'll throw a little bit of a curve here?
Well, the odds right now are saying that it's Jabari Smith Jr., but Banchero has made a comeback for sure. Just to, you know, his odds have kind of shot up. He's still plus money for any of those betting people out there. I don't want to see them take Jabari Smith, though. I think with a franchise like the Magic, you have to strike gold. And to me, it's Banchero or Chet, one of those two guys. You can't go wrong. But of course, you know, they probably have some residual grievances from taking Mo Bamba a couple years back and that not really working out. So maybe that's why, you know, they're a little hesitant to take Chet. But pairing him, you know, with their draft pick last year to the two Washington boys would be really, really cool. So I think let's go for Chet Holmgren in Orlando. They should take him with the first overall pick.
All right. And I'm sure they're listening. Then we got Oklahoma City. The last time they went this high, they were in Seattle and took Durant. Now KD's in Brooklyn. We know Billy Donovan left for the Bulls. Been a rough couple years for Mark Daigneault, their new coach. They've got Gilgeous Alexander's a nice piece, but, man, do they need a lot. And I know they also go 12th. Who do you think makes sense for them at 2?
Well, if he's there and I'm the Thunder, I said he was my number one prospect. I got to take him. So I'm taking Banchero at the 2 for Oklahoma City. I'm pairing him with SGA, who's a wonderful young talent. And then, of course, they had, you know, Josh Giddey, who will be entering his sophomore season. Incredible playmaker. So Paolo can, you know, he can run a pick and roll with Giddey or with SGA. He can rebound. I heard that he measured 6'10.5". Without shoes on, which is just ridiculous. The guy can shoot, he can pass, he can dribble. He reminds me, you know, at his best, maybe he could become an even taller Carmelo Anthony. I think he has that kind of scoring prowess in him. And you're talking about an all-NBA player right there in Carmelo Anthony. It's high praise, certainly, for Paolo, but you have to project what these guys could become at their best. And I think he's a contributor when he gets into that locker room. You've got to bring guys in that can make them compete so that SGA doesn't walk to another franchise. That's who I'm going with them at the 2 spot for the Thunder. And then it's just gravy, whoever they pick late in the lottery at the 12 spot. You know, they can pick whoever they want at that point.
And lastly, the Rockets at 3, who just in the last 3 years, they've lost Westbrook, CP3, James Harden. I call them a very anonymous franchise now, unless you consider Eric Gordon a household name. But, you know, I dare people sometimes. It's like I defy you to name the coach of the Rockets for the average fan. It's right. Steven Silas for the record. But what do you see Houston doing? Because it's an all-out rebuild as well.
Yeah, I grew up in the Dallas area.
Right.
So I know Stevens worked quite well, and he was a good reason why the offensive rating 2 years ago for the Mavericks was where it was. You know, they've got Jalen Green. They've got other guys around him, Josh Christopher, Şengün, the big man. I think if Şengün's playing the 5 spot for them, Jabari Smith slots in to be the 4 perfectly. They just traded away Christian Wood, so they're looking to replace some of those minutes. Smith can defend. He can shoot. He doesn't, you know, necessarily need a ton of touches. His shot creation isn't quite what I'd like it to be, and I think that's something he'll work on when he enters the NBA. And you want Jalen Green to have the ball as much as possible. He's your guy there, so just build around him and get what you can. And that's a great 3rd pick right there, a guy that a lot of people were saying was the number one overall pick for the majority of the season out of Auburn. So that's what I'd do there.
All right. You know, I was going to ask about my Knicks, but I just had lunch a couple hours ago, so I'll just say, folks, he's Alex Tosopoulos, the Charity Stripe Podcast, Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, use at Believe Network. For Alex, it's at _CharityStripe_. Hey, Alex, great stuff. Appreciate the time, the insight, and thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to talking again not too far down the road.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, condolences to the Swanigan family, of course. You know, that was an absolute tragedy, and you know, only the best thoughts and prayers for him and his family.
No, that's a misery. Well put. And like I said, appreciate the time, Alex. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
Thanks, guys.